know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, baby. Come on.
Say you will.
Say it better.
Say you will.
Come on now. Say that you love me.
Say
that you need me.
Say
that you want me. You want
live
me.
From New York City, it's the Gary Knowles Show. And now, your host, Gary Knowles.
I still remember.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knowles, broadcasting video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. Today, we're going to find out how, according to the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, how a plant-based diet helps with rheumatoid arthritis. That'll be good information. In fact, we have several things on health and nutrition today, as we do every day. But then we're going to hear more about 5G. Is it possible to slow down the momentum? Is it possible, since the major media are frequently partners with the major 5G producers, to get another message in? Or is this just going to be shared on radio programs like this and a few places on the internet? So we are way behind on this. We're probably 0.5% of being able to convince people the dangers of smart meters. So I'm going to give you some solutions today on what we can do to even that out a little more. Also today, for those who are on rampages against anyone questioning vaccine safety and efficacy, and I mean, I've been looking at some of the statements have been coming out of the mainstream media. They really consider you a deplorable, a person that should be, according to the Washington Post, arrested and put in prison. And one of the worst agencies in America is Child Protective Services. And the so-called orphanage system we have in America, frequently used to test drugs on children, that's a major article I have coming up. I'm going to report on how corrupt they are, how vile they are, and also sexual exploitation of those children, with witnesses themselves, the children who have been sexually exploited. So don't live by that notion that somehow there's a great energy within taking children from parents who might otherwise abuse them. And today, abuse is considered not giving your children vaccines, even if the child that has not yet been vaccinated has siblings that have been vaccinated and damaged by the vaccines. So with the complete lack of insight and scientific awareness of pediatricians, and we gave the head of the Pediatric Society of a state under oath, she was asked questions, and she was a functional illiterate. She knew nothing about what goes into vaccines and any of the safety concerns and adjuvants like aluminum. And she's a top pediatrician? Whoa. Your state legislators are even dumber. And of course, the media are the dumbest of all. So we're looking at men and women, principally women, who become really educated about why their children descended into autism. So we're going to show you a couple today, and they're going to tell you their story. And it's compelling. Also today, I'm going to play a little piece about a liberal journalist, broadcast journalist, and print journalist, who is giving his take on why so many people who historically had been more liberal and democratic are saying no. And you could agree or disagree, but we need to hear this. You see, when I travel, and I travel a great deal, I listen to what people have to say. I'm not there to educate them. I'm not there to challenge them. I just want to know what you believe and why. And people are sick to death of Republicans and conservatives and liberals and Democrats. They're sick of them. And that's why you now have over 104 million people calling themselves independent. They've had it. They've seen the corruption, the bias. They've seen the politics. They've seen the deep state control of both groups. And yet we're not having any of this in discussions in the mainstream media. One is blaming the other for everything. So we'll hear what one person has to say. Just like we heard from a professor at an Australian university this week, I gave him an opportunity, put his video up, and then afterwards, I deconstructed why I would question his authority on that because of all of the places that give his money to him and what he actually supports, which is a part of the denial of global warming. But at least you had a chance to see what he had to say. So also today, if time permits, I'm going to do a commentary from Global Research on Gaddafi. As you know, I've done my homework. In fact, I can't go there myself because I'm currently producing 3 documentaries, and one has taken longer than what I had hoped, but it's probably the most important documentary I've ever done, and on the environment. So I'll be producing and paying for a documentary done. I'm only allowing Libyans, people who've been affected by the disastrous genocide caused by Barack Obama, our Defense Department, our intelligence agency, and most importantly, Hillary Clinton. I'm going to have pay for Libyans, nationalists from Libya, people who were born there, to go back, film there. I'll provide the film crew, and I'll direct it, but I have to direct it on the road. I can't be there because my schedule's packed filming all over the place, to tell the true story of what Libya was like under Gaddafi and the fact they had over 10,000 democratic committees all across the country, citizens' committees, who made all the real decisions, and what it was like for over 45 years until it was destroyed, going from the number one country, gross domestic product, life expectancy, education and literacy rates, freedoms for women, and what it is now. And no one being held accountable. If we were a just society, if the liberals were just, the current liberals I'm talking about, not the historical liberals, all the people supporting that would be held accountable. And they would be brought forward and say, this is what you caused. And I would have them go there and live. Yeah, let them live in the mess they've created. In any case, I'm going to do a commentary on it today. But if you are from Libya, and if you were there before we, the United States, used NATO to bomb the country, destroy it, you can contact my office. Because I'm going to be, one way or the other, I'm going to do a film on Libya, a documentary, to show you the truth, something our American media refuses to discuss. Not a single American media, mainstream media, will touch this story. Because it means if they didn't show the truth and showed you the victims, the entire Libyan people, then they'd say, well, how did this happen? Well, it's like Vietnam. Imagine we never did a program or a documentary on Vietnam, because we didn't want to hold the people responsible accountable. Well, right now, we're not willing to hold anyone accountable for crimes against humanity. None. No one from the CIA. There's one exception, and that is the people who tried to commit a coup in the United States because they didn't like the fact that Hillary wasn't going to be elected. And so they engaged in completely illegal acts. That's now going to come out. Here's what I predict. I predict that over the next 6 months, there will be at least 30 indictments, and some of the leading figures, including James Comey, will be held accountable and will be brought up on criminal. These people engaged in sedition. They literally thought they had the power to choose the president. Now, I don't like Trump. I don't like anything about Trump. Worse than Trump are a small group of people who feel that they should make all the decisions, not the people in the United States. And boy, does that say a lot when the media, MSNBC, NBC, CNN, ABC, New York Times, all the major media supported that coup. When any good reporter could have uncovered the fact that there was no crimes that they were calling there, and the crime was falsifying a FISA warrant four times, spying on Americans, and that isn't a news story? It's to be defended? No, it is not. But that's going to come back on him. Mark my words on that. I have a lot of contacts. When you're on WPFW for 36 years, every day, 3 to 4 o'clock, and you do over 100 lectures down there, you get to know a lot of people in a lot of different offices and agencies who don't have a problem telling me the truth. So we're going to see some stuff coming out. Anyhow, all this will be coming at us. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. And we have a lot of people who suffer from rheumatoid arthritis. I just completed a study. We were able to reverse in 4 weeks 93% of the people's arthritis symptoms and improve their condition or completely reverse their arthritis. And in the process, other conditions improved as well. Getting a better night's sleep, not waking up five times in the middle of the night, sleeping through the whole night. Energy went through the roof. They were no longer walking around fatigued and having to drink coffee to keep themselves going throughout the day. And the key was understanding how to turn off inflammation. And inflammation is the bedrock of almost all major diseases. Diabetes, cancer, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, osteoporosis, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, and ALS. Underneath all that is inflammatory cytokines. Now, what causes that inflammation is depending upon what a person allows themselves to be chronically, not acutely, chronically exposed to. What do I mean? I mean, if you were to have a glass of alcohol, you'd kill brain cells, liver cells, kidney cells, heart cells, but you have a lot left over. But if you drank that same amount of alcohol on a regular basis, you've knocked up to 15 to 20 years off your lifespan. Just that one thing. Now, I've already done a whole webinar. It was, I think, almost 6 hours, one of the longest ones I've ever done, where I went through the whole mechanics and explained the cellular biology of how many times a day the average DNA breaks. It's about 3 times. And how many cell alterations occur per day per cell? It's about 10,000. 10,000 times a day, every 24 hours, the average DNA gets altered. And that's why we age prematurely. Or we don't age because we're not doing what causes the breakages of the DNA. Because the older we get, meaning over the age of 27 is when we're actually prematurely aging. And as a result, then one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you don't see the same body you had just 3 years before. Your hair's getting thin, starting to fall out, your eyebrows are thinning, your nails are no longer pink and hard and shiny, they're flecked, they're creased, your libido is not the same, your energy is not the same, your muscle mass begins to diminish. That's happening younger and younger and younger. So if you have one single thing that can prematurely age the body, and that's alcohol, but what if you have alcohol and you smoke? What if you have alcohol and smoke and you eat meat with arachidonic acid, highly inflammatory? What if you had refined carbohydrates and sugar, which creates real toxic microbiota and bacteria in your intestine? What if you're sedentary and shortening the telomeres on your genes? What if you're in a stressful environment? Then you start adding the 100 things that can cause you to prematurely age and the diseases of premature aging. And that's why it's so important to realize that you have to start somewhere. And the best place for everyone to start is a plant-based diet, a healthy plant-based diet. Because you could say you're vegan and eat pizzas all day. They're vegan pizzas. or donuts. Yeah, you'd be a vegan, but not a healthy vegan. So here's what this study that was done by a highly respected group, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and they're saying that a plant-based diet can alleviate painful symptoms associated with rheumatoid arthritis. And this was published in the journals of Frontier in Nutrition. Now, we're talking about autoimmune disorders are characterized by inflammation that causes pain and swelling. And while genetic factors could be a small factor, it's your diet that plays the major role. So you start shifting over to a healthy plant-based diet, more fruits, more vegetables, and the raw fruits and vegetables, that's really takes you up to an anti-inflammatory position, actually starts to heal it. Now, this is not the only study showing you that arthritis can be changed with a diet. There are dozens of good studies. But also, a plant-based diet will not only change your inflammatory markers, like the cytokines, but also your inflammatory marker of C-reactive protein, or what's called CRP. And when that's elevated, you're more likely to have a heart attack or stroke. And high plant diets also are higher in fiber, and that shows that you're going to lower your C-reactive protein, and you reduce arthritis, pain, and swelling. This was, by the way, a randomized clinical trial that looked at the effects of a healthy vegan diet, and it made a huge difference, improving so a person didn't have morning stiffness and joint tenderness and joint swelling. Now, mind you, that's just the diet. I go way beyond that in trying to help people, but at least it shows you just that change alone can make a difference. All right? That's important. Also, a new study from the National University of Singapore shows that tea drinkers can get some extra protection against brain decline. Now, regular tea drinkers have better organized brain regions, and we didn't know that. This is something associated with healthy cognitive function compared to non-tea drinkers, according to research. So the results offer the first evidence a positive contribution of tea drinking to brain structure and suggest that drinking tea regularly has a protective effect against age-related decline in brain organization. And I'm going to suggest green tea, oolong tea, pink tea, white tea. They all start with the same tea leaves, by the way. It's just how it's processed after that. So, it also can impact with green tea better moods and healthier heart, meaning less cardiovascular disease. So, this is important. And in fact, it can reduce the risk of cognitive decline in older people by 50% just tea drinking alone. That's terrific. Because then when you start adding in things like phosphatidylserine and acetyl-L-carnitine and glycerophosphorylcholine and all the other nutrients we know impact the brain, now there's no reason to have cognitive decline at all. From Radboud University in the Netherlands comes a study on exercising at home has a positive effect on Parkinson's patients. By the way, mentioning Parkinson's patients, I had someone when I was walking down today, and as I'm walking through around Times Square, there's a woman who comes up, and it's interesting. We had a little conversation where she goes way back. Her mother, she said, first saw me at the Civic Center out in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 1970, 71. Now, I remember that was the one where I had mentioned I went in the wrong door. I went in the back instead of the front. And I was late because I was sitting talking with people that didn't speak English in a little group, the true story. And someone came in and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, I'm doing my lecture. I said, "No, your lecture's down the hallway. You're in the back of the building. These are the janitorial staff." I didn't know. So I walk out, and Pavel Arola and Dr. Christopher, a very famous herbalist, were kind of filling in because they were local residents. And boy, there's just a huge crowd. It was a wonderful evening. I have a picture of it on my website. I was wearing a white suit for some reason. And in any case, her mother had been there. And her mother had been listening and is still alive. And she's in her mid-80s. And the woman said that she was starting to manifest Parkinson's symptoms. And did I have a protocol? And I said, yes. I told her the story of the brain study that we did. And she says, are you aware that Linda Ronstadt has Parkinson's? I said, I've heard that, yes. And she said, well, you're going to help her. And so this is for all the people out there. I used to get mail that, you know, Burt Reynolds was sick and Glenn Campbell had brain conditions. And almost on a daily basis, I get these calls. And this past Sunday, when I finished with my lecture, Saturday, and I finished my lecture on 9/11, I want to thank all the people who came, by the way. This audience was about 98% of all the people there, and it was just packed. The whole church was just overstuffed with people, and it was a good group. And the speakers were very nice people, too. I want to thank Les Jameson, who introduced me, and just very committed, and very moving when they were playing the bagpipes and for the memorial for 9/11. In any case, when I left there, I walked down with a buddy. We walked across, and I went over to see someone, and because he had an idea, and he wanted to do something. He had heard me talk about having a sanctuary for older dogs, because frequently people don't realize this. Sometimes when dogs gets older, it's because the people are feeding them wrong and they're not exercising them. They could love their dog, but then when the dog is not responding and the vet says, oh, you know, it's sick, then the person goes through this torment of having to separate from the dog. And the dog is almost always put down or put into a kennel, and nobody wants an older dog, unfortunately. So I said, I'm willing to open a sanctuary, both one in Texas, I have one in Florida now, where I have animals, and also one upstate New York. And the weekend before last, I was upstate looking at farms that this might work on, as well as other animals, including circuses that close and or people who thought it'd be a great idea to have some exotic animal and they don't know anything about exotic animals. And then one day they get scratched or bitten and suddenly they want the animal killed. And I've handled thousands of those kind of animals and brought them back to health and happiness and then found them homes for life or found a way to let them back into the wilds. And in any case, this guy wanted to have a conversation with me. And he's 85 years of age. And his name is Danny. And he was on Broadway in leading roles for 52 years. And the reason he retired from Broadway about 25 years ago is because he had to take care of his parents. Both parents suffer from brain disorders and couldn't take care of themselves. So he sacrificed, as a son should or a daughter, you know, you have to prioritize the health of your family. But he couldn't do both. He couldn't do the career because he has to do 8 performances a week. And he said, before I was leaving, he said, you know, Gary, he said, I talk with David Merrick because I was a friend of his. And I worked in his plays like 42nd Street. And I talk with Gwen Verdon. And I talk with Bob Fosse. And he would tell us every famous Broadway celebrity you could think of. He worked with all of them. I mean, this is a heavyweight guy. This is a serious guy. And he's probably listening right now because he never missed a show. And if you looked at him, now, I'm up close. I'm, you know, 6 inches away from his face. And I'm looking at him. His skin is just as clear as can be. His eyes are bright. His skin is tight. You know, he doesn't have the saggy skin around the neck. He's got energy of an 18-year-old. And he spends his days helping other people. And he's going to live a long time. So I said, well, if we get this off the ground, you know, I want to do something while I'm still alive to help those dogs, because there are a lot of them. I said, we will. We'll do it. And he said, you know, the reason I'm healthy at 85 and all my peers are dead is because nobody wanted to make changes. Every one of those Broadway people, when I kept telling them, you know, they could go see Gary and all, they say, nah, nobody wanted to do it. And he's been listening to the show for 45 years. And he really practices it. And boy, can you see it when you see someone who's 85 in absolute dynamic health. And you see the average person who is 45 and is falling apart. And by 65, they're a mess. And it's cause and effect. It's not difficult. Break it down. Never confuse the complexity of a problem with the simplicity of its solution. Solutions are simple. Just honor your body and your mind and your spirit at all times, because there's a consequence if you don't. And he's the positive consequence. But what was interesting is when he said every single person that he performed with who was sick, he tried to help. And not one of them wanted to engage in that help. And I said, I know that's frustrating, but understand something. And this is what I told this woman this morning. I'm not going to go call Linda Ronstadt. I've never called anyone. Never. If they want my help, they'll call me because my days are packed. And I do not distinguish the difference in the value of a life from a person that has no known success, just an average person, versus a famous celebrity or a billionaire, because I've counseled people from members of royal families to, my goodness, some of the biggest stars in the history of Hollywood. Some went public with it. Gloria Swanson, Hedy Lamarr, Greta Garbo, Susan Sarandon, you know, and Tim Robbins, many. So I'm not betraying any trust there, but anyone who said don't mention the name, I haven't and won't. But if the people want help, they can reach out to me. And there's a line, and everybody gets in the line. Nobody is put ahead of the line, because then you're favoring someone because they're famous or rich or powerful, and I don't do that. And the thousands, the tens of thousands who I've counseled personally, you know that on 80, you know, over on 72nd Street, there'd be a line of 20 chairs, 10 down each side, and when you came in, the receptionist put you in a chair. And whoever was first, second, third, fourth, that's who I saw. Famous person didn't come in and say, do you know who I am? This actually happened. This happened at 83rd Street, where I was for 27 years, and I would counsel people in the evening, and I say, I know who you are. Do you know who those people are? No. I said, well, I'm going to treat you all the same, as if you're equal. Because in my eyes, every human being is sacred until you prove that you're not. But I'm going to treat you as if you are. That means you have to be humble enough to realize that your status, your celebrity, your power is not going to impact where you stand in line. Everybody who wants help, they got to reach out to me. Now, you got someone who wants to reach out? Make a call to Linda Ronstadt? Fine. Here's the number she calls, like everyone else. And if they don't call, it's not because something is missing. What's happening is they've chosen not to call, and that's fine. I can only help people who show me that they deserve that help by committing themselves to be motivated enough to take that step. Here's the number, 646-926-5459. And the person there, his name's Travis. And Travis does the scheduling. Now, I'm going out of town, so I can't see anybody now. And I would have been out of town already, but I stayed because tomorrow I was supposed to give a lecture up in Harlem, but I just found just now, and I only found out by accident, that they've canceled the lecture. I don't know why, but I want anybody who was going to go to my lecture tomorrow, and I was expecting around 500 people, don't go. They just canceled it. I'm sure they must have some good reason, but they should have let me know, and they should have let the other speakers know. Because one of the other speakers, Mitchell Cohen, didn't know either. So, you know, now then I'm on the road. But I do call in the evenings, you know, and I'll take calls in the evenings wherever I'm at, whenever I have the time to help people, except during this upcoming anti-aging because I'm going to be busy every second of every day. You have no idea how important this is and what people are going to be doing every day to try to reverse their aging. It's never been done in the history of science in any clinical study. This is not medical, though there are going to be lots of doctors there. I mean, every day I'm getting calls, can we come in? We want to come in from this country, that country, and we heard about this. We're a member of an organization, and there's everybody's talking about it. And by the way, mentioning that, we had another person, Gwen, who can't make it there because she, in turn, is taking care of someone very close to her who's had an emergency, so she's going to miss. And that's unfortunate because she's a very nice person, and she really does her best to keep herself healthy. And so now we have room for two people. So we have two people. Here's what you got to know. This is going to be 60 days on campus, meaning at a location, beautiful location. 30 days after that, at home. You're going to have all your blood chemistries done, and that's paid for by a group of scientists who want to see this. And we're measuring over 50 different biological markers in the body, meaning this is objective science, not subjective. And meaning we have to know before and after. 60 days later, we take another blood chemistry at this location, at a doctor's office, blood lab. And then we're holding another vial just for proof to make sure that if anything happens over the next year, we have a comparison. Because some of the markers, like telomeres, you don't see anything for about 9 months to a year, but then you will. But everything else we're going to see. You'll be exercising twice a day. You're going to be taking about 15 glasses of juice a day. Not big glasses. If you're watching right now, this is a 12-ounce cup that I have in my hand here. And you're going to be taking a little less than this, about this much, about 10 ounces. But you're going to be drinking throughout the day special formulas I put together. And each single ingredient, each formula, I have to have 5 scientific references, peer-reviewed journals. So one glass, I have 30 different ingredients in there. And these are all made specifically for this, nothing that is out there on the market. And we even had a buddy of mine who's an inventor invent a machine. So instead of having to run in and out of the kitchen all day long making this stuff, we're making it all and putting in this machine. So you just put your cup under and push one of these buttons and it juice comes out all day. You know, we have psychological profiles. We have cognitive tests and the Hamilton test. We have all these tests, and we have to film this because we have to show how the body works and where you have stiffness. And there's just so much done. And you're going to learn cooking because the first month we're going to show everyone how to make gorgeous, delicious, healthy meals. We're going to show you how to ferment food. We're going to show you how to microgreen and grow things. But the second month, you got to do it yourself. What good does it do if you go to a place and have everything done for you, then you go home and think, oh, what do I do? You know, where's my food? Well, you will have known how to make that food so you can self-sustain. Anyhow, it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. It's a major challenge. You know, the odds of this working, well, it depends. If you're the average doctor, it's zero. The average science is zero. There are hundreds of thousands of science that have never done this. Why do I believe that there is an opportunity to reverse disease and reverse DNA? Because they're using the wrong paradigm, in my opinion. They're using the old Descartes reductionist paradigm. They're very monotheistic. They're looking at stem cells. I'm not looking at stem cells. I'm looking at, and they're all working in petri dishes. I got to work with the whole person, the whole dynamic. In fact, most of my lectures are going to be on philosophy and historical archetypes to tell us why we are what we are today. How did we evolve to be either nice or unnice, and all the dynamics of human nature, because that's what is grounding a person into their behavior and their patterns, destructive patterns, passive patterns, or active patterns. So anyhow, that's what it is. So if you're interested and you're, I'm not taking anyone with advanced near-death diseases for this. They made that very clear. They created the criteria. I have to create the protocols and be there with them. So you can call Luann Panessi. Let me give you Luann's number. She's screening everyone. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. But you got to be there. And she's not going to give you the game people play. You can't believe it. Well, tell me all the protocols now over the telephone. No, you're not going to be told anything over the phone, except if you need that kind of information, you're just going to try to do what you can on yourself and not be there. No, this is for people who are really interested in being healthy, really interested in reversing your aging process, really committed with discipline to stick with it. And if you're one of those people, this is not a health support group. This is a real serious study, the only kind ever done. And if it's positive, it'll get, the word will get out. Oh, by the way, I'm told that we have Michelle on the line. Let's go over and say hello to Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Gary.
Now, Michelle, we haven't spoken, so you're going to have to tell us what you're calling about and what you'd like to share with this audience.
I am calling about your upcoming retreat. I have been to two of your previous retreats, and they have just been absolutely amazing. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about my experience at the retreats that I have been at previously, and I am coming to your next one in October as well.
Oh, good. Now, your voice, when you're on the radio, you recognize voices. Michelle was the woman who had some really serious and life-threatening conditions when she came, but when she left, the day before she left, she came out for a walk and walked a marathon, and also her diabetes dropped 110 points the first week she was there and stayed down, but that's only a small part of it. So tell us what you've experienced since then, because it's what you take home with you and what you're able to do when you're at home to sustain what you learned.
So far, I have dropped 2 dress sizes. My blood sugars have stayed in about the 150 range. They were in the 250 range. They're about 150. I still do a couple of things that I shouldn't do diet-wise, but they've been steady, 100-point drop. Let's see what else that I've done since I've been home. Like I said, I've dropped 2 dress sizes. And just my overall well-being has just been fantastic. So the other thing that I like to talk about at the experience at the retreat is that, you know, in my way of thinking, it's you see miracles happen there. You see people who, you know, there was a gentleman who had severe Alzheimer's. He was, by the end of the retreat, he was laughing and joking with people. There was folks there with stage 4 cancer who came back to the next retreat cancer-free. There was a gentleman who couldn't eat at all. It was the opposite of me. I eat all the wrong stuff, but he couldn't eat at all. And he was eating 3 meals a day and asking other people for their food. You know, it's just it's a place where miracles happen.
That gentleman had been eating through a tube for his entire adult life. And after the first week, he was able to eat regular food with no discomfort. And then he started to eat more food. Then he started to eat everything on the... Yeah. He ate 3 meals at one sitting. I watched him. I kept thinking, he's got to be full at some point because, you know, we serve big servings there, right?
Right.
And he just smiled. I said, do you want any more? He just smiled. He said, yeah, I'm going to take a little more. But, you know, he also went out there, and he was in that marathon also, and he had never done anything like that. He could only walk a couple blocks before. So we're happy to see that. Well, look, Michelle, I got to get on here, but I want to thank you for just calling in and letting people know that good things happen when we open ourselves up to our own healing potential. And I'm not there. I don't diagnose or treat anyone. What I do there is I encourage people to open themselves up to the dynamic of life's energy. And all my lectures, as you know, are on that very theme. Because you can tell people all the right diet, but if they're living the wrong life, the right diet's not going to make a difference. But living the right life and having the right diet and the right exercise will. So we look forward to seeing you back there.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you guys here coming up in October, too. And thanks for letting me talk about my experience.
Okay, thank you. That was, this will make her third one. And again, when she's there, her blood sugar will go to normal because, again, we're not allowing junk foods, and especially when they're on campus. But there have been people who have been sneaky. There have been people who stay at a hotel. We pay for the hotel, and they stay at a hotel. But then in the morning, before they're picked up to come there, they'll go into the restaurant, and they'll just wolf down every garbage food there is, pancakes and waffles with the crappy syrup and bacon and eggs, because the drivers tell us this. You can't believe it, Gary. Half the people are just in there gulping everything down. Why? They're not going into a food deprivation environment. They're going into a healthier, but they're conditioned. That's conditioning. So deconditioning ourselves from bad habits is part of this. And now, she was referring to the retreat, not the health study. They're two separate events. And during the last 2 weeks of October, which we're doing as a fundraiser for our sister station, WBAI, those are not, no one has to have any blood chemistry or you don't have to drink the juices. That's completely separate. The people who are there for the 60 days, they'll be engaging in special activities during the day, watching certain films and getting different input. But it's that 2 week that she was referring to. Again, you have to still talk with Luann. Luann's number is 903-881-7008. And also, I just want to go back to that one study where I was mentioning from Radboud University in the Netherlands, where they say exercise at home has a positive effect on Parkinson's disease. Yes, I do have Parkinson's. I have protocols for everything. But for me to give a protocol, I have to see the person, and it takes generally 2 to 3 hours for that discussion because I have to know enough about the person to determine where they're likely to be able to benefit from a protocol and where something in their life may be resisting it. But always exercise. I mean, always exercise. And even though exercise is known to be healthy, many people find it difficult to maintain an exercise program for a longer time. And this applies even more to people with a chronic illness such as Parkinson's, where physical and mental limitations are additional obstacles. So they had this Netherlands program, and it was a health and research development program where they tested an innovative solution to this challenge. The participants were divided into two groups. Both groups had a motivational app at their disposal, which offered the participants rewards for exercising, and the control group only performed stretching exercises, while the active intervention group was instructed to exercise 30 to 45 minutes on a stationary bicycle at home, 3 times a week at least, and the active group's exercise bikes were also equipped with motivating games, making the program more entertaining and challenging for the participants. And so they could actually participate in this game where you get to race against their own previous performance and as a ghost rider or against a group of other cyclists. And the system adjusted the difficulty of the game to the patient's heartbeat, making the challenge just right. And the challenges, you know, worked. So when a person is challenging themselves against their previous best, then they're more motivated to do it. And a stationary bike at home, they're not expensive, and it's terrific. You can measure your heart rate and your pulse rate and blood pressure. All these things are measurable, and that's important. Also, there's recently been a rise of rickets cases, especially among children from low-income families. And rickets, by the way, is a skeletal disorder associated with calcium phosphate and vitamin D deficiencies. And while poor nutrition may be a possible reason for the increase in rickets cases, a new study reveals that even some supplements cannot provide children sufficient amounts of vitamin D. In their report, researchers from the University of Southampton in the United Kingdom studied several children's multiple vitamins and just found that they do not contain a full spectrum of nutrients and not enough vitamin D. And this was published in the Archives of Disease and Childhood. So the takeaway message is make sure your child is getting 400 units of vitamin D over the age of one, and people are giving way too little vitamin D for themselves and for their children. So that's the latest on health and healing, and I'll save my Qaddafi interview, or Qaddafi, my Qaddafi commentary of the truths that we are afraid to see, the consequences of our actions around the world, and I'll do that on an upcoming program next week. Instead, I want you to hear and watch. Please go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and watch Progressive Radio Network Facebook. That's what it is. And watch this interview with this couple who were pro-vaccine and trusted their doctors and the consequences of that.
If you can tell us who you are.
Brenda and David McDowell. Hi. How are you doing? We have triplets. We triplets that are now 10.
I literally got, they're 10 years old.
They're 10 now. That's before the injury.
Two boys and a girl?
Two boys and a girl.
And their names? I've written their names on the bus, so I do know.
Richie, Robbie, and Claire, just as they are in that picture.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Okay. All right, so let's mm-hmm. talk about what happened.
Well, every day in our life was a party. Every single day they were holding hands and smiling and laughing and looking at each other, engaging in each other. And we brought them in at 9 months and 4 days to do, we were doing one vaccine at a time. They were born 36 weeks, triplets, basically 5 pounds each. Yeah, we did well. They were well. Everything was well. They came home after a few days of being monitored in the NICU. And on June 25th, 2007, we brought them in for the pneumococcal shot.
So just that shot?
One shot. And I went in, not with my husband. He was working. I went in with my nanny, and we went in at 10 a.m.
All three,
yep. And it was the last one on the page is the June 25th, 2007 was the shot that did it. And we went in at 10 a.m. for the shot. My daughter still has the mark on her leg from the shot. She was the first one to get it, and she screamed and never really stopped screaming after that. But we continued. We didn't know. We did the boys as well. By noon, Claire shut completely off.
Claire,
our daughter, shut off first. It was as if she was blind and deaf and complete failure to thrive, from super, super happy, smiley girl to, this is a picture of her. She had full-blown eye contact. She was super lovely, and she shut right down. And all she did at that moment was stare at the ceiling fan. So that was at noon. We had the shot at 10 a.m. 2 o'clock, we watched Richie shut off. All his raspberry blowing and mama dada and the furniture walking and everything, just they just shut off. All the giggles, all the smiles, it, again, failure to thrive. They lost all their reflexes. I'm an educational audiologist. I actually did the test for the stapedial reflex, which is a little muscle in the middle ear, just to see if a muscle they can't control was still working, and it didn't. The stapedial reflex dampens sound, so your ears don't hurt from a really loud sound, and both of them had no stapedial reflex. They stopped blinking, stopped yawning, stopped coughing, stopped sneezing. You could go towards their eyes and they wouldn't even phase, nothing would phase them. They lost their startle reflex. I threw a telephone book on the floor behind them, and no startle, nobody even looked to see what it was. So that was 2 o'clock. We watched Richie shut down, and I couldn't breathe. But the, here we go. The worst is when we saw the final one shut down. Sorry. Here's Robbie. We lost Robbie. Robbie looked like he was hit by a bus. Robbie, from that moment on, had a stunned look on his face. If you asked or said his name, he still acted deaf and acted like he couldn't hear, although they did have normal hearing. I had it all tested. But he lost his happiness. This is a first year picture. first birthday.
3 months after the shot.
3 months after the shot. They were no longer engaged in anything or anyone. They lost their smiles. They just were in their own little separate worlds. They never held hands again. They never looked at each other again. Sorry. Vaccine injury is real. We were told it was genetic. And then we were told by geneticists that there's no possible way three children were shut off on the same day. That was absolutely statistically impossible, especially being two boys and one girl. So we were also told we could not sue anyone. We were told we signed for that shot. No doctors could be sued. No vaccine manufacturers could be sued. We found out when they were 5 and a half that there was a vaccine injury court. When we, I think we're all getting smartphones around then. That's when we, you know, I had it at my pocket and started Googling everything. And they then told us that we were too late. They only had 3 years to apply. So we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to recover them. The only person that we got back is Robbie, the one that was last to shut off.
We're making progress on all three.
We are making progress. So we had severe autism spectrum disorder for all three kids entering kindergarten. That's how long that severe, even with all the therapies, interventions, you name it, we did it.
Okay. They haven't done everything. Next week, my hope is to have the person whose autism, my protocol reversed, completely, totally cured, top of his class, completely normal. Yet you should have seen him the first day I saw him. So there's hope for this couple. And I'm posting the whole video. Reach out to him. Now, because my lecture, and there are several of us who are going to lecture tomorrow up in Harlem, because it was canceled, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, on next week, probably Monday, I will, on the air, share the article, brand new article, proving that the vaccine did not stop polio, nor smallpox, nor measles, because that's the common refrain you hear. Well, without vaccines, you know, we would have all died from this epidemic. It's not true. And we will use only quality peer-reviewed science to completely rebut their flaccid arguments. So you'll have that information. But it's important when you have information, just like all these studies we're doing, articles on Wikipedia, share it. Share it as many times as you can. And at a time when Facebook and Google are censoring everything on health, you can't see an article off Google. If you go Google vaccine, you'll go to vaccine safety and why you should take your vaccines and why they're safe. You won't see any of the 52 articles Richard Gale and I have written and published on this topic. If you want to know about organic versus GMOs, they'll take you to an article that is anti-organic and pro-GMO. So this is the beginning of this censorship. And unfortunately, right now, we are seeing both sides of Congress support mandatory vaccines, state legislatures follow the money. And you'll see the pharmaceutical company and its lobbyists giving money to these groups, and then they vote on their behalf. And also, they're wrong on their science. We have science on our side, but they have the media, and they have the government agencies they've captured on their side. So right now, they're winning. Remember when I said 2 years ago, be careful, because first they're going to mandate that your children be vaccinated, but then they're coming after you. Well, California, Dr. Pan, the one who got all this legislation passed, he has now introduced. I read the bill last night. I read every word of it. And they're now going to mandate mandatory vaccines in California. So adults, you're next. And if you don't get vaccinated, you probably won't be able to go back to work because it has all these inclusions, and you're not going to have a religious exemption. You're not going to have a philosophical exemption. So the big vaccine companies will win. The politicians that take their money will win. The public will lose. And that's unfortunate, because what you just saw is going to be the norm. And yet people will stay silent except after they've been injured. Then they find their voice. By the way, I'm going to play one more clip, that one of that the liberal making some statements that should give us pause to think. We could agree or disagree, but I want you to hear what he has to say. There may be some good news. I'm working on a protocol right now that can detoxify the harmful effects of vaccines in children. And once I have this protocol perfected, then even if your child has to be vaccinated, there's going to be a better way to help the child so it doesn't go into autism spectrum disorder and the other conditions. But more on that later. Now let's go out of our program today with one person's view about why so many people are angry at the so-called liberal, and I'm not talking about historical liberal community that many of us have belonged to, but rather the corporatized liberal community that the Democratic Party has monikered for itself, and the ones you saw in those weeping clown debate last night, that was just an embarrassment to anyone's intellect, with only one comment on global warming health and none on making any positive changes that really matter.
Become unbearable. And I speak as a liberal, okay? In my core, I'm probably more liberal than not, although fundamentally, I see myself as a journalist and I'd like to see both sides of all these things, and I can argue both. But liberals have become utterly, pathetically illiberal, and it's a massive problem. What's the point of calling yourself a liberal if you don't allow anyone else to have a different view? You know, this snowflake culture that we now operate in, the victimhood culture, the, you know, everyone has to think a certain way, behave a certain way, everyone has to, you know, have a bleeding heart and tell you 20 things that are wrong with them. And you know, I just think it's all completely skewed to an environment where everyone's offended by everything. And no one's allowed to say a joke. If you said a joke 10 years ago that offended somebody, you can never host the Oscars, you know? So now there's no host for anything. The Emmys now just said they're not going to have a host either. So hosts have gone. And soon every award winner will go because everyone's a human and they're all flawed. So no one can win awards anymore because there will be no platform before they even get on the podium. So then no hosts, no stars. Then no one can make any movies because we're all flawed. So no actors, right? So suddenly, where are we? The liberals get what they want, which is a humorless void where nothing happens, where no one dare do anything or laugh about anything or behave in any way that doesn't suit their rigid way of leading a life. No thanks. So what's happening around the world? Populism is rising because people are fed up with the PC culture. They're fed up with snowflakery. They're fed up with everyone being offended by everything. And they're gravitating to forceful personalities who go, this is all nonsense. Which, by the way, it is in most cases. Okay. So why are we surprised?
I'm not surprised. Something to think about. That have we become offended by everything and have lost our humor and our humanness and our capacity to understand that we're all capable of making mistakes, and a person should not have their entire life measured by a mistake that they have made, and maybe even innocently or out of ignorance. And when we become that ramrod rigid and become such perfectionists that we judge everyone by an artificial standard of correctness, my God, we might as well be in a prison. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for watching and listening. Have a nice day.
Just for the moment we live.